This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Moving on, though, to our first story this hour.
Dr. Liu Voi-kyong recently gave some insight into Pakatan's legislative reforms process. He's admitted that it will take quite a bit of time because it's a complex task. There are over 120 pieces of legislation, some dating back to British colonial days, that would be affected by the reform.
Now, of course, this is coming off the back of a lot of people kind of asking, when are certain laws going to be abolished? This was in the manifesto that you said you were going to do this. And it is interesting to get this insight into a tricky process, because many of these laws belong to different ministries, and then individual ministries would then have to decide whether they want to appeal or amend specific acts within those laws. This process, according to Dato' V.K. Liu, will take 1 to 5 years.
Right now, though, the priorities for him are to repeal or amend oppressive laws. That's the Sedition Act, the NSC, SOSMA, POCA, and the Anti-Fake News Act. He does expect the Sedition Act to be abolished this year and replaced with a new formula that will come in the form of a new law or making provisions of the Act part of the Penal Code.
So I am looking forward to that, because the Sedition Act has been one that we've seen a little bit of rhetoric around, right? Mm. So at the start, it was, yes, we'll definitely get rid of it, don't worry about it. Then after that, it was, no, but you know, sometimes it's important. Sometimes for national security, you might need it. And now we're back to, we are going to abolish it. So I'm hoping that this is the landing.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to see what the outcome is.
I hope they stick with it, because, well, there have been a lot of twists and turns that they've taken with certain pieces of law that they want, that they promised to get rid of.
Yeah, so to read that again, it's Sedition Act, NSC, SOSMA, POCA, Anti-Fake News. A lot of those have been, I guess you could almost collectively characterize them as oppressive laws, you know, or laws that aren't oppressive in and of themselves, but have been used as tools of oppression. So I would like to see, in spirit, changes to those laws, because it is a statement of the security of the government in saying, you know, you can feel secure knowing that these will not be, these laws are not going to be abused, because they have been amended in the first place. And also, we are secure enough to do that.
I just wonder if, let's say, they do work on these laws, and if, say, like the fake news, anti-fake news bill, which they did try to repeal this last year, though it didn't succeed when it went to the opposition-dominated Senate. I just wonder how they'll deal with the potential fallout that could come from that, and how they'll handle the messaging of their attempt in trying to repeal those acts.
Sure. At this point, it does seem like there's a lot of thoughtfulness going into it, though. Mm. There is an admission and an acknowledgement that it is a complex task, which I'm hoping, you know, reading more into it also indicates that you are speaking to people who will actually be actively involved in it, or, you know, speaking to advocates both for and against appealing and amending. And so hopefully that will give the Minister of Law a good idea of the different concerns surrounding the matter, because that would hopefully enable no U-turns. Because the problem we keep seeing with proposed changes from the government is also after something is suggested, you hear people going, why wasn't I spoken to? Mm. How come we didn't hear about this? So the fact that it's taking a while might actually be a good thing.
And the fact that they've admitted that it'll take some time, and they, at least for Dr. VK's case, that he's given some insight into how long it's roughly going to take and what it will take to change those laws, is, I guess, a good way of just dealing with the pressure that's been coming from civil society and from citizens as well.
Yes, exactly, because that has been quite fast and furious.
How do you deal with the push factor? And hopefully this is one way that he'll continue to use, I guess, just to say, okay, this is what we're working on. I guess transparency into the process of what is being done is very important. And because they fail to communicate that, we get impatient.
Yes. We are going to be getting more details about these proposed law reforms after this. We're going to be speaking with Emeritus Professor Datuk Dr. Shad Salim Faruqi, who is a professor of constitutional law at the University of Malaya. That will be coming your way after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
Good evening. You're listening to Lynn and Kelvin, and we're speaking about a statement that came out recently from Datuk Lu Vui Kyong, who basically said this is the reason why it's taking a little while to create these law reforms that were promised, because it's a complex task. A lot of these are very old. A lot of them also belong to different ministries. So there are many, many different conversations that need to happen. And I suppose the question here for me is, are you happy with this level of communication? Because that word is something that we've used a lot about how the government works, right? Are they communicating enough? Are they communicating in some cases too much? So does this help you understand why the process might take a while? Let us know. 7733 2900 is the number to call. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. So as mentioned, we're crossing over now to Emeritus Professor Dr. Shad Salim Farooqi, Professor of Constitutional Law at the University of Malaya. Prof, thanks for joining us. So a year on, how do you feel about the progress that's been made by the government so far in carrying out its promised legal reforms?
Well, some reforms have indeed been made. For example, Aksa University, College University, Section 15 was very oppressive, and that has been suspended. But larger reform of the University Colleges Act is still on the card. It's being drafted. And I think I have to say this, drafting a law, any law, requires a large amount of consultation, compromise, and very deft, clever drafting to be able to reconcile conflicting interests. Because idealism has to go hand in hand with realism. You know, someone jokingly said, two things, don't look into how two things are made. One is your food, don't go into the kitchen to see how it's made. And second one is your laws. Look into how the laws are made, in the sense of all the conflicting opinions and demands that come up, and we have to reconcile them. So I think we should not be despondent. 1 year is hardly a long time. There are many centers of power in the government. It's not all monolithic. So as the minister correctly said, he can't just direct the reform. It has to go to the ministry concerned. If it involves rights of the Orang Asli, or if it involves women's issues, there'll be many ministries involved. So I think we've got to work with these ministries. We've got to have a great deal of statesmanship, vision, as well as realism. We have to be practical idealists.
I suppose many Malaysians see this five-year period as a golden opportunity to update the laws that are seriously outdated. How much of our laws need to be reformed to catch up with the needs of today?
All laws, without exception, need to be updated. But law reform is not something that you can accomplish today and then say, the job done. No, heavens no. Laws deal with life, and life is always dynamic. Life always throws up new challenges. But I just want to alert you, there is something called structural changes. You know, what people want right now is basically piecemeal, quick, instant changes. So, for example, abolish mandatory death penalty or death penalty. But there is a much bigger problem, structural changes. Many laws, if not all of them, are built on assumptions, prejudices, ideas that belong to an era gone by. For example, in the area of gender equality, in the area of dignity of workers, assumptions of a feudal society, assumptions of a gender-biased society that permeate the laws. Let me just give you a simple example of structural problem in land law. So you and I have a title to a piece of land under the National Land Code, and so it is our land. What about the Orang Asli? They don't have titles. Their concept of ownership is different. So the entire National Land Code is built on assumptions of a society that has a concept of ownership based on principles of the National Land Code. In the area of women's rights, through and through, there are assumptions of society that imply that the male is more important. In citizenship laws, sometimes there is gender discrimination. So they permeate the legal system, not just our legal system, every legal system. The law reform talk that's going on today is rather shallow. It is looking at instant solutions to problems that actually require thorough investigation of not only what you see, but what you don't see, what is subterranean. In other words, the presumptions, assumptions of society, the prejudices that are inherent in the law, these need to be looked into. So this is a task that is a continuing one. Law reform is a journey, not a destination.
So how should we deal then with laws that are either irrelevant or outright oppressive while waiting for them to be repealed or amended? Are moratoriums the only answer? Because they, of course, can be lifted at any time by the government.
Yeah, well, moratorium is, I think, the first step. For example, on the issue of death penalty, there was a policy of a moratorium. There was also a policy, but it has been lifted. Well, moratorium is one, but I would think a procedural step should be to work towards the setting up a law reform commission. And the commission should have a truly representative membership of all sectors of society to be able to look into problems of society. Many of the laws that need amendment are laws about commerce and trade and financial matters to be able to boost business. Thirdly, the ministries must get going. They must set up their own committees. And I think they should start their work right away. But it's unrealistic to expect that a government would, within the first year, be able to reform the law. I think within the first year, the government should initiate the task of law reform. Law reform takes longer than that. We are not cooking instant meat. We are actually dealing with issues which are connected with philosophy and with law and with politics, with economics. So that requires a thorough investigation. Otherwise, you know, what will happen is the law will be amended, and before the ink dries, further amendments will be needed.
Prof, which laws would you prioritize in terms of the need for reforms and amendments?
Well, I certainly think there is a need to look into laws like the Sedition Act, laws like POTA, POCA, SOSMA, they need to be reformed. A great deal of laws on gender discrimination or gender equality need to be updated. In the matter of family law, for example, child marriages, we've got to do away with those. No way actually do they satisfy what could be called current morality. And I think we need to have some firm action on these points. I think many laws relating to trade and commerce, setting up businesses, I think they need to be looked into, because the life of the small-time businessman needs to be facilitated. We need to amend some parts of the penal code, which are gender-biased. The law is built on prejudices or assumptions. Male psychology and female psychology may well be different. This is a long-term task. It requires a lot of open debate. Official Secrets Act is the most incredibly not just unjust. It is, in my personal view, a dysfunctional law, because it prevents accountability. It prevents openness. It prevents people's access to information that could actually help to promote good government. So OSA, in my view, should be the first one to go on the list, Official Secrets Act.
Prof, thank you so much for joining us today. That was Professor Datuk Dr. Shad Salim Farooqi, Professor of Constitutional Law at the University of Malaya, discussing a recent statement by our de facto law minister, VK Liu, that this is why law reform takes a long time, because it's complex, because these laws are old, because there are several ministries involved, it's not just one. Which was, I thought, good insight into the process behind, you know, a lot of us wanted, do it now, you promised. But it's good insight into why it won't be that way. And honestly, I mean, I learned a lot from speaking to Prof. Shad Salim that I would not have gotten otherwise. Like, I do think it's interesting that there are so many unsexy laws that need to be amended, because we tend to focus on the big guys. We tend to focus on the ones that directly impact all of us as Malaysians. But that observation about the fact that there are so many business people in Malaysia who are impacted by, you know, laws that are entirely out of date, not in step with what their needs are, that was fascinating to me.
And the fact that he had said that all laws here need reforming, that was a bit of a surprise, because I thought at least something would still be of relevance to us right now. But it does seem like Dr. VK Liu does have a very uphill task ahead of him, and it's also then how will then these different ministries manage to reform these laws, and whether 5 years is necessarily enough for the government to push through all the changes that they want to.
4 years now. So, 4 years. Yeah, it isn't a lot of time, especially if you're talking about all laws, you know. Right now, we are still addressing a handful, as Prof said earlier, the OSA being one.
Yeah.
But it is a handful that people are looking at: sedition, NSC, SOSMA. So where it goes and how long it takes will be interesting. I guess this is something that we're going to have to revisit possibly only in a year's time, in order to see how much progress has been made, and also to see whether or not the current, you know, goal of getting the Sedition Act amended or abolished this year is going to happen.
And eventually it will be a good thing that at least the government is taking some time with this. If they did perhaps rush it through, we don't know what the legal consequences of that would be.
No, you want them to get it right. You have been listening today to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.